Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
All right, Monday morning Q&A. We are going to be going over 3 cases today. David, we're also going to be talking about Koberger. We're also going to be talking about the Delphi situation and the latest there. So be sure to drop your questions in the comment section as we work through this on Substack, YouTube, Facebook, X, wherever you may be watching us live. And thank you over the weekend if you dropped those. We're going to try and get to as much as we possibly can today. We're going to start with the David case this morning. Everything about this case gets heavier, it seems, by the day. The People's Brief made public what prosecutors say David Anthony Burke did to Celeste Rivas Hernandez. That came out last week. If you've not seen that or read that, oh my goodness, we got videos on it, reading directly through it, breaking it down. Go back in the archive just last week and you can get all of that. There's so much in this. The alleged calculation, the staged text, the fake name, the months that passed while a 14-year-old girl's body sat in a parked Tesla and cooked. And the man prosecutors say put her there, went on tour, did radio interviews, threw an album release party, and behind all of it, a child who was 11 years old when she met him. Your questions have been pouring in since it dropped, so we're going to try and get to those. Joining me, as always, to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Let's jump into it. Let's start here. It just kind of gets to the behavior. And I think a lot of people are just trying to wrap their mind around this guy, Robin. He allegedly went on an album, went on to an album release party, had an album release party the night after prosecutors believe she was murdered. Like nothing happened. The question is quite simple. What kind of person does that?
Psychopath. I mean, literally, it's just psychopathy. And I want to say just psychopathy. But again, it's not a licensed clinician. We haven't seen any testing on him, but some that can compartmentalize. And I don't even like the word compartmentalize because it's not like it's all wrapped up into one for people like this. It's just like Gilgo Beach, you know, in Rex Heuermann. You know, Asa thought, you know, that's not the family man I know. I want to get to know the other guy. No, it's all one dude that was just faking it in front of you. Same thing here. This guy just has zero empathy for any other human being except himself, because no other human being can do what he did. This thing, as you said, it's getting darker and darker and more twisted every single day. It's shocking. It's probably one of the most shocking cases outside of Maddie Soto that we've covered in my mind when it comes to just horrendous tragedy. And just stupidity. I mean, this is like one of the, I say this all the time, not one of these people that commits any of these horrendous crimes is smart. I don't care what their IQ says. They have zero emotional intelligence. And if they had any semblance of intelligence, and this guy's had enough, he's successfully making music. So what would make someone that is successfully making music do something so stupid? And not just the horrendous act of killing someone, innocent to proven guilty, the horrendous act of killing someone, but the method of it was like the dumbest way, the cover up, everything. This is just like so idiotic what he did. And for what gain? Nothing except mental breakdown, dumb brain, broken brain.
I feel like we need another word for compartmentalization. Because it's like we all can compartmentalize things to a certain extent, and then there's some who can do it really well, and like that gets up there, you know, into like the narcissism world. This is like lock boxes that are separated. I don't know what it is. It's so separated, and he has the ability to navigate his way going forward without recognizing, you know, I guess what the hell's in those compartments. And maybe that's the shocking part of compartmentalization for so many, is like, we think, you know, you can compartmentalize something, but it's still there. It's still over there. And the weight of the horrificness of it still shines through, even though it's compartmentalized over here. Whatever the hell he's doing, he's locking it off so good that he can show up to have parties and do this and that, like nothing is going on. Another thing that kind of came to mind here, thinking about The Day After, Corey Richens, another case that obviously we've talked about a lot.
Exactly.
The day after her husband died, she goes and she closes on that house. There's video of her. I mean, their friends had like a little celebration party, which, number one, to me seemed crazy because that was more than just her having a celebration there. There was like multiple friends like, hey, let's celebrate. Let's hang out and have drinks. Like, her husband just died like the day before. And you're all like joking around the kitchen. Like, what? There's something seriously wrong with these people or anybody that's able to move on from a tragic death, and the next day you're having cocktails and living it up. I mean, I get when it's grandma and she's 95 and you're celebrating life, but not when unexpected your daughter or your girlfriend or your husband dies out of nowhere under suspicious circumstances.
You know, one of the psychs on my team years ago gave a great analogy, and I know I've used it here before, and I'll use it again because I think it really fits, because we keep trying to put human conditions on inhuman people.
Yeah.
These people are not human. They are pure predator. And what I mean by that is, so let's do our little thought experiment. Think of a wolf. Think of a lion, especially a wolf, because wolves kill for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if they're thirsty, they can go down to the water hole and drink amongst all the other animals that they're about to go kill free of emotion, because it's always just serves them. That's it. There's no compartmentalization with a wolf. They just are. They kill for pleasure. They kill for food. They kill for sport. They just kill. Yet they can actually blend into the environment when they need to, because if they got to get some water, if they don't feel like killing today, that is the only analogy you can really use with the pure predator that is missing this. They're just missing the empathy gene. they're missing any need or human connection, because they are just a predator that gets their dopamine fix and hit from the kill.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, and maybe that's something that we need to understand more with people. And we don't look at people that way. We look at wolves like, he could be a predator. It could be or he can be loving and kind and raising his cubs and pack and being good and surviving as a wolf would survive. I mean, more wolves, you know, are out there in the woods, in the forest, and far more never attack a person. Every once in a while, you get one that does. People are kind of the same way to a certain extent. I mean, I guess there's empathetic wolves, but you push any wolf to the breaking point or a threat.
Wolves are kinder.
They could be. I think you're right. I think wolves might be kinder. But it's kind of like that. People are really the same way. We are shocked all the time by people doing these sort of things. But, you know, we're not surprised when we see a wolf tore somebody apart. Should we really be that surprised when people are doing it? Where it's like, yeah, they're capable of that too. They're not all empathetic, kind, you know, hearted things.
Well, the good news is the majority of us are.
Yeah.
It's just the broken ones that when they're broken, they're broken. It's not even broken. It's just missing. The empathy is missing. That's why trying to figure out a psychopath, you're wasting your time. There's nothing to figure out because there's nothing there. They're not plotting. They're not strategizing. I mean, they are just living in the moment, and they'll strategize how to do things. But you can see some of the thought processes going on here. You know, Rex Humer says it's his playtime. Who says that? Someone without empathy in his own house, 12 feet from or a couple feet from where his daughter's playing video games is where he did all his kills.
Yeah.
And I mean, every single one of these wackadoos, nutters, is made exactly the same way. It's what they're missing, each one of them. And David, innocent to proven guilty, has exactly the same footprint that all the other ones did. And his immaturity, though, his age, and is really shining through with his immense stupidity. I mean, you and I were just reveling, thinking about this, you know, before we started. What moron buys a chainsaw to cut up a body? It flies everywhere. I'm just
someone who's never used a chainsaw, you know, like a 19-year-old.
Like,
you
know? Where did you? So he saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre and thought that was a good idea.
Or he played it, or he played with one in a video game once.
The friendliest things he did.
And just until a couple of weeks ago, your children could have been playing as David on Fortnite.
they probably still are.
That's the fun part. I wonder if you bought the skin, if you can still use that one, or if they're like, yeah, maybe.
Don't even use that word. That might be, bought the skin.
That's whatever you call it, the avatar or whatever. I don't know. Let's get another question here. And this is interesting because this, I'll read the question. Her parents took her phone away to protect her, and then he allegedly paid a kid at her school to deliver a new one. Paid a kid allegedly $1,000 to give her a new cell phone because mom and dad did step up here in this, and one of the few ways I will say I'll give them some credit for of parenting. The question from the listener is, how am I supposed to feel safe sending their own daughter to school? Well, be involved in your kid's life, is the answer. Be present. Be aware. I'm still going through. I have a young teenager right now. Robin, you've gone through this. You've got them out of the house. They have survived and they have grown to adulthood. You've gone through all these years. How do you answer that?
Same what you just said. Communication. Every time. It's a tricky balancing act because every time something would come up that was potentially challenging, the only ones that would really get all my attention were the ones when we start dealing with potentially unhealthy people. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know there's unhealthy people yet until there is a wobble in the behavior of your child. And I mean, I am so hypersensitive to wobbles. And wobbles are a deviation from what you normally expect. Granted, teenagers have wobbles every single day, but those wobbles are going to hit a pattern as well.
Yeah.
But anytime you start seeing differences in communication that can't be attributed to something, bad grades at school, a typical teenage breakup or a typical teenage drama. But how do you know all that? Transparency. We got our kids in a pattern earlier in age because habits are always repeatable. And we got our kids in a habit of constantly sharing, even when they didn't feel like it. It's just constantly sharing. It's always a help me understand this. I always start out with the validation of saying, listen, help me understand. You've made a lot of great choices and you have a lot of really great friends in your life. And one of the things I value about you is all your friends. I enjoy knowing them, enjoy seeing them. Help me understand what you see here. I'm struggling to see what you see. I don't understand this behavior. Help me understand this behavior that they're doing and help me understand how this is good for you. I mean, it's always just curiosity. And if I didn't get an explanation that made sense with transparency and openness, then we had a different conversation. And it only happened once where it deviated into me pressing harder, and it was a struggle because the thing I'm always saying to myself at all, and whether it was with my kids or anything in life, is how is what I'm about to do or say going to help or hinder a healthy relationship? Because healthy relationship's going to win the day. If you have a healthier relationship with your kids where their dopamine is flowing at home, they're not going to need their dopamine flowing outside the house. Mm-hmm. So if you win the big four battle in their brain, endorphins, serotonin, oxytocin, and dopamine at home, they don't have to get that fix outside the house. It's not said they're not going to have that. That's why we do sports. That's why we do theater. It's why we have all these great experiences. But the anchor of those emotions, those positive emotions where they feel safe, where they feel heard and they feel valued and not judged, is home. Mm-hmm. That's how you have the communication you need to mitigate wobbles.
Yeah.
Long explanation. I know, I'm sorry, but
no, I agree.
Communication is the key.
And I will say this. I mean, because as a parent, I think the thing I think a lot of us were brought up with was, well, if something is being a hazard or something is troublesome, just take it away. That's what we had happen to us.
Dorks too.
but the thing is, I mean, at this day and age, not all the time it does. I mean, especially with devices like phones.
Yeah, they're
and
been
stuff.
Determined to use it. They're going to
well,
use it.
Well, they'll get one. They're, mm-hmm. Someone will give them one. They will find one. They will buy one. Even like they will find a way. I mean, just think of how crafty everyone, like we've all been in our teen years. Like, that didn't go away. They're still crafty, craftier probably than we are. And they will find a way. So it's more so to me, like with a device, like my reaction, my knee jerk is always like, take it away. Like, wait a second, take a step back here, Tony. This is like the communication. Like this is the avenues to which they use it. If I take that away, I lose all control over that device and also intercepting any information that comes through it should I need to. I'm in the dark if I just take that away. They'll find another way that I really don't know anything about or may not know about. If I catch it, great. But if not, you're just creating more problems. If they need their device, they need their device. You can limit their device. There's all sorts of limitations you can put on this thing. But just taking it away doesn't necessarily usually solve the problem other than for that exact instant. If you can find a way to monitor that device, let them use it. But then you're getting the information as a parent as you need it, should there be anything questionable going on. You know, use the resources that are in existence out there to help figure out what's going on with your children and monitor as you see fit and as you need as a parent, rather than you're just putting up roadblocks. Sometimes I think when you're taking things like that away, then you are actually finding ways of dealing with the issue and trying to get ahead of it and find healing or inspiring them in some way, shape or form.
So I'm going to give you some Jedi level stuff that I was fortunate enough that wound up happening in our house and still does to this day with that kind of thing. Because you're right. If you say you can't, it's not going to stop anyone who says they want to.
Yeah.
We see this in murders. You know, I mean, you can protect a president. You can protect, you can do anything you want. But if someone's been determined to do harm, they're going to do harm.
Yeah.
So the key is, how do you inspire them to not want to do harm? How do you inspire them to want to share? How do you inspire them to come up with a solution on their own? That's what I did. So I always came down to, as everyone on the show knows, I'm anti-nutter. I don't do crazy. I don't do crazy relationships. Being around unhealthy people is the most draining experience in life, and I don't do it. And so anytime one of my kids or anyone in my life was having drama issues, what we had conversations about what causes drama. And what behaviors cause drama. And then so it was never a judge of this was right or this is wrong or you can't do this and you can't see this person. It was just us assessing as a group, as a family, or the two of us, hey, let's take a look at this. Let's look at the data that you're collecting. Let's look at how do you feel? What is going on that makes you feel that way? Who is making you feel that way? That person? All right. So what do you want to do about it? What would make this better? Oh, it's the social networking that's doing it. All right, so you tell me, is that something you need help with? Or do you need to use me as an excuse with your friends that you can't do this because my dad said I can't do this? What do you need me to do to be a resource in your life to give you permission to get rid of the drama that's making you feel this way? Because it's a choice. Do you want to feel this way? No? What can we do about it? Yeah. And it was team, and I never took anything away from my kids. I didn't have to. Yeah. They made the choice. They need to cut something out. I became a resource for them, an excuse. I remember every time my kids would go to a potential party or a get together, my wife and I told our kids, hey, if you need to make a phone call and tell them that my parents are angry, you know, if you need to make us the excuse why you don't feel comfortable to leave, we're here.
Yeah.
So it's always just a deep conversation about what you're feeling, what you're going through, what the solution could be, and what can we do together to mitigate it so you're not put in that position.
Harper's used me as an excuse before too. She's been on the phone like, oh, my dad says, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I never said this. And then she hangs up. She's like, no, it's fine. Like, I know that. But she's like, I wanted it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. She's like arrives to that sometimes by herself.
It's a team. It's a team. Yeah. You know, I say this with my kids all the time. I'm their chief of staff. Once they hit the age where they decided what it is they wanted to do for their own prosperity in life, my job is to help them get there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the snowplow. I'm not the helicopter. I'm the guy behind the scenes that said, this is the destination you set. I'm going to be your loving critic and ask the questions about what you're doing. About what you're doing, is this helping or hindering you getting from point A to point B, the choice that you made? And if you don't like it, then choose a different choice. If you don't want me as your chief of staff, that's fine too. I am here to support you in the decisions you're making on the healthy path and road that you're trying to forge. If I see wobbles, I'll point out the wobble. If you don't want me to, I won't do that as well. It always comes back to, I am their greatest fan, their greatest advocate, and their chief of staff. And they feel guilty when they don't share stupid shit with me. And that's what keeps these wobbles from happening. I don't sweat it. I look forward to deep conversations when things go sideways. I don't look forward to the pain they go through, but we don't think of it as pain anymore either. These are life reps. This is going to be a great rep. We're going to take something great from this. And I guarantee you, you know, to either my kids, you won't do this the same way the second time. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Robin's latest book, by the way, It's Not All About Me, available.
On Self-Help Mondays.
On Self-Help Mondays, yes. Available wherever you get books. Go check it out. Your thoughts there in Substack and YouTube.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.